Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in North America among church planters, partnering churches, and field partners. We invite you to listen to some of North America's best practitioners in the field of church planting. Now get ready, because the conversation is about to begin.
Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast, hosted by the North American Mission Board. Well, today is just a fun day for me. I've been trying to get this guy to get out of all of his hard work to come on over and spend a little bit of time with me. We have Dr. Tom Jones, who is the Executive Director of Stadia, Planting Churches, Changing Lives. And Tom's been a friend for probably 4 or 5 years now, and he's the author of Church Planting from the Ground Up, and just a good guru on church planting. And I think today we're going to talk about a subject that I don't think we've ever talked about on a podcast. And Tom, I know I've never heard it on a podcast, and that's talking about your home church, importance of a home church. But first, let me say welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast.
Thank you, Tom. And let me say to you, thank you for all of your good work.
Appreciate that.
And in church planting.
Well, I know, because I run the list, in 6, 7 years that we've been doing the Church Planting Group podcast, we've never done one on the importance of your home church and about your home church. So I want to hear it, brother. Share with us. Tell us your story. This is pretty cool.
Well, I am, Tom, sold out to the church. I believe that the local church is where the action is. And, of course, those of all of us involved with church planting, we just need to see more of those.
Amen.
And that motivation comes from my home church. I grew up in a small town, Follinsby, West Virginia.
Oh.
But,
Morgantown, West Virginia.
There you go. Mountaineers.
Yeah,
all right.
Mountaineers.
And small town of 3,000 people on the Ohio River. Steel mill town, mm-hmm. about 40 miles west of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think of my home church, I have just incredible memories. You know, I think my parents or my mom took me to church, you know, like 2 weeks after I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And that little church on the corner of Penn and Neville Streets, you know, all these memories come
flooding back.
Yeah. You know, I remember going to Vacation Bible School there, you know, every summer.
Amen.
My third grade public school teacher, Mrs. Stemple, you know, she sang in the choir.
Cool.
I remember my good friend Randy Weaver and I were in junior church, and we were probably 8 or 9 years old, and we got to serve communion, you know, and when we were done serving communion, we'd go back to the church kitchen, and we'd steal the communion grape juice, you know.
Yeah.
We'd put it
in a larger cup.
We would drink it right out of the bottle,
yeah.
You know. And
yeah.
He's an elder in that church now, and I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But
aren't you glad God's a God of grace?
You know, that's right. That's right. And then my home church. I was in Scouts, Boy Scouts, and my troop met in my home church, and my Scout Master Al Cooper was one of our elders, and then my home church sponsored me to go to Christian Service Camp.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that was very incredible forming time for me, you know, held hands with a girl for the first time there,
yeah.
And had my first kiss at camp, and
mine
my church.
Mine would have been Ridgecrest Baptist.
There
Conference.
You go, there you go. You know what? And my church paid for it. You know,
yeah.
What can be better? You know, but also remember, you know, my sisters were married.
Yeah.
In my home church, I remember my father, who was a lifelong recovering alcoholic, struggled with that his whole life. And I remember one Sunday, my dad going forward and recommitting his life to Christ in my home church. They didn't judge him. They didn't condemn him, but they embraced him.
Sinners saved by grace, brother.
That's right.
Amen.
And they loved him. And then my dad and some other guys in the church reached out to Kenny Horwood, who was the town drunk. And they brought Kenny to Christ, and Kenny eventually became a leader in the church.
Praise the Lord for that.
My home church, I remember meeting on Wednesday nights as a teenager in the home of one of our elders in a Bible study. And he kind of informally mentored me. Mm-hmm. And
probably began to disciple you too, probably too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And, you know, I recall back, you know, a lot of who I am, you know, stems from that home church. And I was baptized there. I was, my home church gave me a scholarship to attend Milligan College. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to the post office box at Milligan and opening up my post office box and getting my mail. And about once a month, there was an envelope from George and Adam A. Heckman from my home church. And there'd be a $10 bill.
Just thinking of you, praying for you, and wanted to help you out.
And George was our town trash collector.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't have much. But what he had, he shared with me.
And he was investing in your ministry,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And then my home church sponsored me and helped me go to seminary. And my home church helped I was ordained there, mm-hmm. in 1977. And then they helped to sponsor both of the new churches. That my wife Debbie and I started. And when we were married, they had a shower for Debbie there, a bridal shower. And then I remember when Debbie and I were serving in Painesville, Ohio, as an associate pastor, got a call. Debbie came. I was in a board meeting in the church. She came and pulled me out of the meeting and said, hey, your dad's had a heart attack, and we need to go back to Fallsby.
Yeah.
And so we got in the car, drove about 3 hours home, went straight to the hospital, and by the time we got in there, my dad had died. But my the elder who mentored me all those years was there to meet me at the hospital.
Man.
And my dad's funeral was in my home church.
Yeah.
Several years later, many years later, 20-some years later, my mother then was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal lung cancer. So that was a tough time for our family. My mom had not; she didn't smoke a cigarette in her life, secondhand smoke. My home church was there for my mom. They came, they prayed for her, they showed up, they painted her house, brought her food, and eventually my mom died, and her funeral was in my home church there in Fallsby, West Virginia. That little church, you reached out to the down and out. They brought people to Christ. They fed the poor. They weren't perfect, but as I like to say, they really got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my life goals, because of my experience, is that I want to see everybody on the planet have a home church.
Amen.
You know, we can talk about what's wrong with our culture and our country and in the world, but the number one hope, in my opinion, is the church,
mm-hmm.
Because that's where we have the good news.
Amen.
And so that's why I'm so committed and passionate about church planting.
Amen.
Everybody on the planet deserves a home church, like I have.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, it's amazing how your story. I grew up in a small little community in Ceseltown, Maryland, just outside Baltimore. My dad as a contractor, moved to Florida during the building boom. Small little, you know, I mean, we're not of the same denomination, you and I, but small little First Baptist church. Similar story, the Jerry Deasons, and same type of thing. I went to school, you know, I was one of the little preacher boys, and, you know, Freddie Smith was the pastor, and, you know, the Lord died for the local church, you know, and a lot of people around want to make fun of the local church and want to say a thousand other things about the local church, but that's the only
thing. You probably preached your first sermon at church, didn't you?
I did. And to be fair, you and me, I look at it every January 1 and see how pathetic it was.
That's right. I know. Well, my home church, I preached my first sermon when I was 15 years old in that home church, and I thought, my goodness, you know.
Oh,
they were just willing to take me.
Just roll up their sleeves and
right.
love you.
That's right. That's right.
I did my first revival in that church and in my home church. I came to know the Lord when I was 13, 14 years of age. Was called to ministry. Really was called probably my 11th grade year, but really sensed it really, you know, the summer of my senior year. I was headed off to do something else, and God wasn't going to let me head off and go to another way when he wanted me to go that way. And my first sermon was preached, and, you know, I came home and got ready to go to, you know, to a college, and they said, well, that's great, you're preaching tonight. So I had a whopping 4 or 5 hours notice, you know, which probably better in the long run, but all during my, you know, Bible college, you know, background to get ready to go to seminary, every time I was in, they had me preach, they loved on me. Some of those sermons really stunk, you know, and yet they loved me in spite of me, and, you know, church is like family, you know, they'll take us in, you know, they'll love us in spite of sometimes when we don't even deserve it.
My home church, when I go back to preach, they still introduce me as Tommy Jones.
Well, I'm Tommy Cheney, so here welcome back. Go. And I don't know about you, and I don't like the word Tommy.
Yeah, I've moved beyond that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one of the things, Tom, that I assessed a lot of church planters. And when we start the assessment, I talk about my home church. And I say to these couples that are getting ready to launch out, I said, you're probably wondering why we're going to ask hard questions and why we're going to. Mm-hmm. It's because you're going to start somebody's home church.
Amen.
And we want you to be the very best that you can be, because, you know, if you're called to be a church planter, then I heard one guy say, actually, Wes Stafford said, if you're called to be a pastor, what I would say, if you're called to be a church planter, then don't stoop to be a king.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know? Oh, and that's a great quote. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, don't get caught up in the world standards. Yeah. Just live in God's standards, and, you know, he'll take care of you every way. You know, it's amazing. You have probably similar, you know, experiences in the church, and even for me to go to seminary, I didn't grow up in a wealthy family, even a very, very modest family. Dad was in construction, and, you know, if it wasn't for my local church, I wouldn't probably been able to go to seminary. Now, it wasn't my home church, but it was the church that I had been part of for quite a while at that point. Mm-hmm. And this preacher boy was going off to seminary, and faithfully, like you said, every month I'd get a little call from the seminary's finest thing. Said, don't worry about bringing, you know, I won't even share the church, but they took care of it this month. And, you know, it was just a great church in the Northeast that loved on my wife and I, just a young married couple, and said, we believe in you, and we want to see you, you know, be successful in God's work. And they already knew we were church planters before we left, and that pastor was very mission-minded. But, you know, so I've been blessed really in having two really home churches, the church I grew up as a snotty-nosed 13-year-old, and the one that God really said, you're going in church planting, boy.
Wow.
So it's a special blessing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we have been incredibly blessed by not only my wife and family and I, not only by my home church, but by, you know, all the churches we've been involved with, like yourself. It's just, you know, you make a bond, develop a relationship with people, particularly those churches that Debbie and we started a church in Centerville, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. I know where Centerville is.
And then one in Princeton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we have
what a big difference, brother.
Yeah, what a big difference. And, you know, we just have a special bond with those group of people. And that's because, you know, we started their home church.
Yep.
You know, people came to Christ in those churches, mm-hmm. and we were there when there was tragedy. We helped to put their marriages yeah. back together. Their children sometimes died. And
those that came to know the Lord, you were
that's
there
right.
part of that.
That's right. And, that's yeah. right. And so, you know, just everybody deserves to have a home yeah. church.
It's cool, though, to go back home in that way. We've done that a few times. I married a Jersey girl, a New Jersey girl, though you wouldn't tell it by her talking. But
where in New Jersey?
Well, Aberdeen, Matawan, New okay. Jersey, so right. area. Not that far from Princeton. Yeah. That's why, yeah. I, yeah. you know, when you said that. But when we go home, it's like, you know, they remember her when she was a little kid, and they remember when I was, you know, a bivocational, helped them plant churches. And it's great to go home because you remember your roots.
Yeah.
And that might be something that we want to say to our planters today.
That's right.
Remember your roots.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Because that's what we're reminiscing about. And but those are the people that, you know, loved us when, I mean, before I came to know Christ, I was unlovely, you know, and they loved me in spite of it and just welcomed me with God's open arms. And, you know, you said the same thing, maybe not in that exact way.
That's right. That's right.
So I think the local church and the home church is a healthy reminder for our planters today, wouldn't you say?
I think that absolutely. And it's a challenge for us today because, you know, a lot we live in a society and culture and world where our planters when they come to the church planting world, they bring a lot of baggage with them.
Oh, yeah.
And so sometimes it's hard for them to think about having that healthy home church model. So we need to try to provide that for them so they do have a stable kind of understanding and healthy theological understanding of what it means to be someone's home church, what it means to be the church.
And that's why it's so important for what you and I would use the term or something like it, church planting churches, churches planting churches, because they'll give you that heritage.
That's
they'll
right.
give you that healthiness. They'll teach you what a healthy church looks like.
That's right.
That you can, whether you, I don't always say reproduce it, but at least you'll learn some of the things that you can emulate in your own work.
That's right. And, you know, Tom, because and the other side of it is we always need a new generation of home churches.
Like amen.
Because,
amen.
Well, let's think about, you know, the Church of Antioch, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great church yeah. if you look in Scripture, but no evidence of it today.
No.
You know, of course, it's legacy, yes, but not, you can't go and find that church as yeah. great as it was. So, you know, churches eventually die, and therefore those of us who are involved with church planting need to make sure that we are planting another generation of home churches to reach our culture and communities for transformation and changing lives.
You know? And I'd say one other thing and then have you say some closing remarks, Tom, but that home church is so hugely important for what I would say missions globally. Because most of all that we do, whether it's church planting in North America or whether it's church planting abroad, and here where we're at this week, it's a mixture of everything. It starts with that home church. You
That's
know,
right.
you work in a denomination, I do too, and we work and lead in that area, but it's the local church that, you know, is one of the pivotal, you know, if not the pivotal, you know, area for, you know, for the connection. And without a strong home church, there wouldn't be some of these other things that we've been very fortunate to do. Tom, what would be one closing remark that you would share, just reminding our planters about, you know, the importance of a home church? What would be one thing you say, listen up, please?
What I would say, Tom, you know, it's not hard to watch the news or read the newspaper and see, you know, that our world's in a spiritual famine. And, you know, we've tried law, we've tried all kinds of ways to change that. But I believe, in fact, I've given my life to the fact that the church is the hope of the world.
Amen.
And every person on the planet deserves to have a home church. So I would encourage your listeners to think about that. And let's all agree together and partner to plant thousands of home
Amen.
Churches. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right. Well, Tom, thank you again for always being part of our podcast. You're a special blessing and a dear friend, and we only get to see each other about once a year at these events, so it's always good to, and then you had a little knee surgery or whatever it was a couple of years, kind of get you out of the game for a little while, but it's good to see you again, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
Well, friends, be sure to come back next week, because you never know what God may have in store to teach you, and as always, visit thechurchplantingvillage.net for all of your church planting resource needs. Planting the seed of God's love in North America and beyond. This is your Church Planting Group podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. By subscribing to this podcast, you've already taken some great steps to being trained and equipped for God's work of church planting. Also, be sure to check out churchplantingvillage.net for more resources and information on church planting, partnering churches, and field partners. Plus, the latest edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. Reaching America, Canada, and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.